Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello, John.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, guys. Oh, hello, Chris.
Hello, John.
I'm doing good, bro.
I want to give some shout-outs this morning, guys. I want to give a shout-out there to Maria and Toys R Us holding it down. Oh, my goodness. Crystal out in the Bronx. I hear things are going well. And, of course, I give a shout-out to all of our wonderful people in the great state of Texas. Oh, my goodness. Those guys are awesome, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Beautiful, beautiful.
Goodness. I also want to welcome our VFN Radio listeners this morning. New VFN Radio listeners, Rasheen and Cody and Junior and Dee and Christopher and Dell and Sharon and Alta and, oh, my goodness, Ola and it's awesome every single day. Well, guys, we have so much to talk about today. Can you believe it's Thursday already, November the 8th? But I want to just talk a little bit about in terms of just what's been going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But before I do, I want to share this psalm with you. It says, "The Lord is our refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
Amen.
Man, he is so good.
Yeah.
He is so good. And no matter where we're at today or no matter what we face, you know what? God's got our back. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble, and he is an awesome presence in the time of joy.
Amen.
I mean, there's always a good time to be with the Lord. And
absolutely.
I'm grateful for who he is and what he means to me and to all of us.
Yes. Amen to that.
Well, you know, Pat and Chris, we had a nor'easter last night. I want to give you an update.
Yeah.
We normally the first snowfall for me is a joyful thing, you know?
Yeah, right.
Nice snowfall. Mm-hmm. But in regarding just, you know, what's happened here with Hurricane Sandy, this wasn't a welcome snowfall, and the nor'easter brings winds a gust of 40 to 50 miles an hour.
Right.
It's kind of a combination of like a mini little type of a hurricane with wind, and it brings some rain, and also sometimes it can bring some snow.
All right.
But it just went over the whole New Jersey area,
mm-hmm.
once again in New York, and we got about 4 inches of snow outside.
Oh, wow.
Four inches of snow, and we've had some folks that lost some power. And in fact, Joanne, I want to give a shout out to Joanne this morning. She made it home. Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. How many hours did it take her to get home yesterday?
It took her 5 hours to get home.
Because of the snow, right?
Yeah. We kept checking back on her. She's like, "You almost there yet?" She goes, I'm getting there. And it was at a standstill. But think about it. When people were getting stuck, she said it was just like a crawl.
Yeah.
And they were veering off the side of the road and running out of gas. And it's just some challenging times, and we have folks that lost power too. So we want to just continue to pray.
Yeah,
right. We believe that just amazing, wonderful things are going to come out of all of this.
Yeah.
You know, God's going to redeem all this.
All right, let's go and pray for him now.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for your hand of protection over your people, Lord. We just pray, God, that you just envelop, God, your people and just protect them, Lord. Those that don't have homes, God, that have lost because of the storm, God, that you would just give them warmth, God, give them a roof over their heads, God, give them food in their stomachs, God. And I pray, Lord, more than anything, God, you just draw them to yourself, Lord. God, that they can know you as Lord and Savior, God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, Pat, you know, we just had an election yesterday. We just re-elected the President of the United States.
All right, actually, it's 2 days ago.
Is it two days?
I know, already.
My goodness. But time flying by. Wasn't yesterday, the day before yesterday. Okay.
Right.
Help me out. Keep me straight, man.
I'm trying.
But that's you know, the nation voted.
Yeah.
The nation voted. They cast their votes. I believe we had over 116 million votes that were cast.
Right.
Which is amazing. And it was great participation. I mean, that's one thing about elections and what we have going on here in the United States, with an amazing country, is that we're able to come together. We're able to have a constitution that affords us, my goodness, the right to get out there and exercise our freedoms, mm-hmm. but also our rights. We can choose our destiny. And it was very important. And so the president was reelected, and Governor Romney was pretty gracious in his mm-hmm. in his speech. I thought that was pretty good. Did you get a chance
to see that part, no.
That was very good. And the president really had some awesome uniting words for the country. And I thought that was good because, mm-hmm. you know, one thing about our country, once we vote, mm-hmm. it's done and it's settled.
Right. Yeah, that's good. I mean, there's other countries who don't even have that opportunity.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's just, praise God. I mean, we're just, right now we are in a blessed land.
We really are, because you're right. In other countries, I mean, they have an election, their side doesn't win, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I love what he said. He says, you know, I've heard him say this before, that we're not the red states, we're not the blue states of America. We are the United States of America.
That's right.
And that's very important. It's very important because you have neighbors. In the segment that we played yesterday, mm-hmm. You'll hear in that highlight. If you haven't been to the highlights yet, you need to go to VFNTV.com mm-hmm. and go to the VFN Torch. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we talked about yesterday, because it was a great program yesterday. But in our highlight yesterday, you'll find that President Obama was reelected. We shared a report from CBN. CBN shared a report, and what's really interesting was that I loved how they interview one guy, and he says, listen, you know, the neighbors are different. He says, no, he says, listen, we can have different opinions on different things, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to judge my neighbor. I'm not going to judge another person by, you know, who their choice for political candidate is. You know what I mean? And it's like, I judge them by the person. And that's right. So good. We can get beyond all that, which is very, very good. And now we, you know, as a church and as a people, need to get behind and support our president.
That's right.
You know, our country is still, 8-9% unemployment. Mm-hmm. We have a financial crisis that's looming.
Right.
There's a lot of there's a lot of things that the country needs to get back in order. Now that the election is done, mm-hmm. now our elected officials can come together, work together, especially since the people have voted. I mean, this is, I'm hearing many politicians that were reelected say, hey, listen, the people have spoken and we have heard the people.
Yes.
You know, they want us to get to work, and it's good. It's very good, because it's a representative government. So I'm glad to know that, you know, they want to represent and get the country where it needs to be.
Absolutely.
But, you know, 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy, he says, I urge you then, first of all, that all petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool is that we've actually been praying for the president for quite a while, which
is
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to urge all of our BFN radio listeners, listen, we're one country, we have one president, and he's going to need a lot of help and a lot of support to move this country in the direction that it needs to move into.
Right.
And we need to pray for those who are in authority. And Romans 13 says that no authority is unestablished outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm share some of this prayer, but this prayer is really good. It says, God, I pray for the president's spiritual life, that he can hear your voice and obey your voice in every situation. I pray against all wrong speakers whose intent is to lead him away from your will, Father. And I ask that the same boldness that he is currently moving in and speaking, that he would turn and lift you up. Call on your name, and that you will answer, and he will hear from you and boldly proclaim your will and your ways over this nation. God bless the President of the United States. I mean, this prayer goes on. We pray for his protection. We pray for his family, the First Lady, Michelle, his daughters, Malia and Sasha. And we pray for wisdom, divine encounters, and for the right people to help him. You know, you need the right people. You know, you have a cabinet. Mm-hmm. Although the president has the ultimate authority, I mean, you don't do everything. I mean, think about it. You have cabinet positions, and you have bring people in that help you manage and run. And so he needs good support.
That's right.
You're only kind of as good as your support. You need to pray for him. Also pray for the vice president, Joe Biden. So this was good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for, the nation to get back, because I'm telling you, there's so many issues pressing with our nation right now that we need God.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about that today. I'm going to tell you, we need God in such a desperate, desperate way.
Amen.
God's the only one. I mean, yes, we vote for presidents, and you know what? Presidents come and presidents go. It's all part of the process. No one, unless you're in a dictatorship, no one kind of stays forever. But even they die too,
Right.
But who remains the same? Who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and whose kingdom that ultimately is important? It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. Jesus is still Lord. Amen.
Amen to that.
And he wants us to continue to proclaim his kingdom, and to advance the Lord's work on the face of the earth. And when I think about that, when I think about advancing, the Lord's kingdom on the face of the earth,
right,
I'm reminded of Reverend Billy Graham.
Oh, really?
Did you know that yesterday?
Uh-huh.
Yesterday was Reverend Billy Graham's 94th birthday.
Oh, wow. 94.
94.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
So I'm like, wow. They interviewed Dr. Graham, and I just feel so uncomfortable calling him Billy. You know what I'm saying?
He's such
an amazing man of God.
Yeah.
But Reverend Graham, what a long life of faithful ministry.
Faithful.
What a long life of being able to proclaim God's word with boldness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about, one of the most respected heroes of the faith, is Dr. Graham. His love for God, his integrity, his counsel. I mean, he's had some access to so many different presidents, and he's just been just a wonderful, wonderful example, and has led millions. I know he's preached to millions, but he's led, who knows?
Oh, I know.
Hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, of people to the Lord.
That's right.
He's preached all over the world. In fact, we have a highlight, a segment. We talked about Dr. Billy Graham, and in that segment, and you can find it on the Torch, just type in the search bar, Reverend Billy Graham,
right,
and you'll be able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Where he says that in one encounter, and one time, he actually shared the gospel with 1 million people in Seoul, Korea.
Wow. At one time?
At one time.
Oh, my goodness.
So you talk about, he said it was just an awesome experience.
Yeah.
And I could only imagine. But one thing that he said that struck me, this is a man that has been sold out to God. This is a man who's been preaching the gospel for years at great sacrifice. I mean, listen, he went all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
First, he went all over the world, and not in the internet age, not in the cell phone age.
No, right.
Not even in a beeper age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And for weeks and months at a time, he'd be overseas sharing the gospel while his family was at home, and his precious wife, Ruth, who just recently passed away and went to be with the Lord, did such an amazing job keeping the home front and taking care of the children and carrying a huge load on her own. And you think about it, talk about partnership, talk about, better together.
Right.
That's understanding that what we do together is for the advancement of God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't necessarily being about them. They've paid a price. Who was the guy, Pat, that was his right-hand man that really helped Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham, in his ministry?
Oh my gosh, I read his book. Well, it was actually not his book, but it was a book written about him.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
It's called Leading with Graham.
Mordecai Ham?
No, that's actually that's how Billy Graham got saved. Was Mordecai Ham?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank, but anyway, we'll look that up.
We can get that to you. But isn't that amazing? His right hand man really helped him out tremendously. Everybody needs somebody to walk with you and, you know, help out in life. But this man was really a right hand man to Billy Graham, and just really helped him to preach the gospel in such a powerful way by doing a lot of the things that needed to happen to support him and set things up. But he's written, Dr. Graham has written several books as well as, you know, preaching and leading these huge evangelistic campaigns. But he was just recently interviewed on his birthday, and he was asked, you know, I still believe that, but I guess the Lord kept me around because I still have a purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're at 94 years old and you're still, he's still involved in ministry activity. It's you know, slowed down quite a bit, but he's still involved in sharing the gospel in one way or the other.
Right.
And he says, I have a purpose. Billy Graham at 94 says, I have a purpose. And when I think about that, I'm like, wow. Billy Graham, you're not talking about retiring. You're not talking about taking it easy. You're not talking about getting ready to be with the Lord. In fact, they're actually getting ready to celebrate, as I understand it, his ministry is, and his daughter, they're going to be putting together a big get-together for his 95th birthday. They're already planning that.
Oh, they're already planning that, my goodness.
They're already working on that. Talking about having a vision. And, you know, recently we heard him in an interview, and he's just you know, looks in good health. You know, he's had some little health issues at 94, but relatively speaking, for 94 years old, I mean, God's really blessed him with a long life, and he's able to communicate and talk freely. And I think about purpose. Billy Graham saying that he still has a purpose to accomplish.
Right.
How important is that?
Right, right. Actually, the guy's name was T.W. Wilson. He was the one that served with him for many, many, many years. Awesome,
right.
Awesome man of God.
That's awesome. So T.W. Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the book's called Leading with Billy Graham, written by Jay Dennis. Beautiful.
That's cool. What was the biggest thing that you got out of that? This was
like his faithfulness. I mean, he went everywhere with him. I mean, he had a great influence, just man of integrity, awesome, awesome man of God. Learned a lot from him.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Where and it's good. He's not looking to puff himself up.
Mm-mm.
And most people have never heard of
him. Never even heard
name.
Of him, exactly. That's the whole point. He was behind the scenes, but yet, you know, he had great influence himself. That's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think about that, his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and when he reaches heaven, I mean, I believe he'll have a huge, huge, huge reward for that.
Right.
You know, because it takes it's all of us working together.
That's right.
It's all of us working together.
That's right.
We can go on a whole other thing, but talking about, you know, everybody wants to be and would say, oh my goodness, I wish I could have been T.W. Wilson and be with Billy Graham and Reverend Billy Graham and be with him all over the world.
Right.
But even that itself, I mean, It takes a special person. It takes a person of character and integrity.
It does, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be in a place like that, you just can't just walk into something like that. Lord, raise up men and women of integrity that walk alongside and helps ministries and armor bearers and raise up spiritual sons that will walk with men of God and will help them to accomplish the goal that God's, you know, and the vision that God's put in their life.
That's right.
Somebody, I think it was in that book, or you can correct me, but someone said that, you know, without T.W. Wilson, it would be hard to see where Billy Graham was able to do the ministry and what he was.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, he was responsible for a lot of the ministry aspect, things that, you know, that, you know, Billy didn't have to worry about, you know.
Right.
You know, as far as getting him to where he needed to be, you know, at the right times and, you know, making sure that everything went smoothly.
And that's a very, very important part.
Yeah, it is. All Billy had to do was just show up, you know what I'm saying?
And which is good because, I mean, when you're getting ready to share the gospel, you don't need to worry about, you know, how they didn't fix the lights and, you know what I'm saying, there's no chairs in the building. And,
right.
You need to be focused on the word of God and what God wants to share to the people.
Right.
That's, I'm sure that Dr. Graham was very, very grateful for him.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm as I listened to this interview, he's talking about he has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He has a purpose. And it's so important to talk about that, because if Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham at 94,
mm-hmm.
I keep saying that, at 94 can have a purpose,
mm-hmm.
my goodness, it should really cause all of us to say, if you haven't found out what your purpose is, to say, what's my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
What is my purpose?
Absolutely.
And I love David, King David. David says in Psalm 139:13 says, for you created my inmost being and you knit me together. The Psalm says, I'm sorry, not David. The Psalm says, for you created me my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
God knit you in your mother's womb.
Right.
Before the foundations of the earth, God knew you.
Right.
And I think so many times people think, you know, if you don't know God, that maybe I was an accident, or mm-hmm. there's all types of different scenarios that play out in people's life. But mm-hmm. no one's an accident.
Nope.
No one's an accident.
Mm-mm.
You know, there is a purpose for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about when anything that you see, you know, in your everyday life, any type of product or whatever, you know, there had to be a purpose in mind before that product was ever created. You know, one of the things of living in this type of culture is everything is so fast that we run around and we do all these different things mm-hmm. that we don't take the time to pause and realize, you know, I'm not the designer type of guy or the creator. So I'm really, you know, I'm more the guy like, okay, this turns on like this. That's cool. You know?
Yeah, right.
But when you get into designing and creating things, you really begin to appreciate melancholies. The detail, Chris, the detail was involved in this.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's how my mind works, really. I have to see it in my mind before I can actually bring it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I see things in pictures. I think a lot of men are probably like this way. Me personally, mm-hmm. like when I had my business, I used to, you know, build a lot of things out of acrylic, you know, and I had to visually see it in my mind before I'd actually even put it on paper and begin to even build it.
Right.
You know, like podiums and aquariums and, you know, brochure holders and things like that. But it was it's all visual.
Wow. And acrylic is like plastic.
Yeah, it's a plastic.
Wow. You can't hide mistakes with plastic, can you? It's like working with glass.
No,
it?
None.
what was
you had to be good at it, really.
Hmm? What was the name of your business?
Precision Acrylics.
Precision. hint.
Yeah, right.
I love that. But it's so important.
Yeah.
Because everything has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's just created. Purpose precedes production. So things that just don't appear.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, you know, Apple products that they're storming. You know, they just released the iPad mini.
Right.
Sold another 3 million or so of those.
Right.
But, you know, people often wonder, what is this, you know, why are they so successful? Why is this Apple product, no matter in this particular economy, people are still spending, you know, a pretty relatively, you know, it's not cheap
mm-hmm.
for this product.
Right.
And I came across, I don't know if it was a book or an article that I read about Apple,
mm-hmm.
but did you know, listen to this, they actually, besides the research that's involved in their product, and even the person who's not an Apple fan has to admit that their product is really second to none. It's not a chintzy product at all. It's
top notch.
And they go great into detail about how they produce this stuff. I mean, it's just like,
mm-hmm.
you look at their video and go, amazing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Amazing. But they actually research, get this, how to package their phone, let's say, mm-hmm. or their iPad, whatever their packaging.
Yeah.
So that the customer has the most amazing experience when they're opening a box.
Yeah, their packaging is pretty. It's good. It's nice. It's almost, I mean, like I don't even want to throw it away. Matter of fact, I think I've got one of their phones, and I still have the box it came in.
I do too.
It's so pretty. I don't want to throw it away.
Isn't that hilarious, though? Yeah. I mean, it's like, you think about it. Their instructions. We're talking today
everything
about
has how its own compartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, how somebody packages something, but they do it in kind of such a cool, I don't know, it's just kind of hard to describe it, but such a cool, neat way.
It's just quality.
Yeah.
It's just top-notch quality.
And so they even went to that much of a detail so that when you open this product of quality, you're just not stuffed with peanut filler and you know, stuff rattling all over the place.
Right, right.
But it's almost like you're...
It's not just some brown cardboard box, you know. It's a lot of thought went into it.
And you're going through layers, too. But I thought that I was just... very interesting, the fact that they would, and they go through like tons of boxes and tons of models, and I mean, you should see it. It's like a whole production just on how to package it, not just to package it, but to package it so that the customer has an experience, you know, an overwhelming experience when they open their product.
Yeah.
And look at all the things around it in your home.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about, my goodness, if that much detail and attention goes to a product that goes on the market, imagine the detail and the thought that God has about every single person.
Exactly.
That your very hairs of your head are numbered by God.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned. I'm concerned that we have a generation there that doesn't have a purpose. I'm concerned that they have a purpose that they don't know what their purpose is.
Right.
You know, our young people, we've got a purpose for our young people.
Right.
You know, I don't know about you. I mean, when I was young, I had so much uncertainty when I was a teenager. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I didn't have a relationship with God. I mean, I knew of God. I didn't know God. And I can remember just having great uncertainty in my life. Like, what am I going to do? And I knew at a young age I wasn't going to be a rocket scientist. I figured that out about the fifth grade.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, I'm not going to be a doctor. I knew that already. I knew
not going to be a lawyer. No,
no,
that's not going to happen.
Oh, not here. Not here.
That would require reading a lot of books.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't like doing that. I was always amazed at the kids that got straight A's and didn't study. I'm like,
I know.
Chris.
That's funny. Those straight A's
that
didn't hear.
Straight A when you went to school, right?
yeah. Right. Really, I did good when I was there, but
when he showed up.
You know, I showed up more than
when he went smoking his Bible. Yeah.
Well, you know.
But did you? I mean, doesn't that make?
Yeah,
you
I mean,
think
that's
about it, it's like, oh my,
that's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember, you know, when I was in school, you know, I'd even have this friend of mine who sat next to me in class, who, you know, he would sleep through class, and then, you know, like 10 minutes before he'd wake up, he'd copy all my work. And
oh, my God. Yeah,
I'm serious.
Really?
I'm serious.
He'd wake up and copy your stuff.
He passed.
And you didn't. And, no, I'm kidding.
No, but it's, you know, seriously, you know, it's very important having, you know, like you're talking about, having vision for life, you know, knowing that you have a purpose in life. Growing up, I never... You know, like you were saying, John, I didn't have a purpose. I didn't see my purpose. In fact, you know, I couldn't see beyond, like, you know, living a very long life. I never thought I would. I just, I could never see it, you know.
Right.
And I think that stems from not having somebody in your life speaking into your life to encourage you to think about, you know, future. What are you going to do in your future? You know, I never had that. And so that's, you know, so that just leads you to, you know, having... you know, that role model in your life, a father figure in your life that's going to pour what's inside of him to pour it inside of you so that you do have a vision. You know, like you said, you know, God created us with purpose. He has something in mind, you know, but that's going to come down to who's speaking into your life here on earth.
That's right.
You know, which is supposed to be our natural father, our earthly father. You know, and so right, and so having the lack of that, you know, many of the, you know, like the concern of the younger generation today, there's, you know, 35, 36 million fatherless homes in America, you know, we've talked about for years. And so that younger generation that you're talking about, because of the lack of fathers, have no vision. You know, they see no purpose for their life.
No destiny. It's just so true what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's like a visionless generation.
I mean, they would walk around with t-shirts that say worthless.
Right
You know,
yeah,
that's what they think of themselves
on their vehicles, and it's sad. It's very sad.
But you know what, I believe that what we're even doing today is even the fact that we're talking about it and we're sharing about it, the fact that Billy Graham is a light Reverend Billy Graham is a light
great example to
the world, saying at 94 years old, I'm not looking to expire or retire. I'm looking to refire. You know what I'm saying?
Is that what he said?
I'm just saying.
I was like, man, you go, man.
I said, yeah, but you could almost hear him say that, you know.
Yeah, right.
But you know, it's like get up and go. What do you mean? If at 94,
right.
You're talking about purpose. You're talking about making plans not for your funeral. I mean, people are making plans for their funeral.
Yeah,
I want these chairs and play this song and make sure you have these flowers. I'm like, dude, you're 50. What's, you know, like, you got plenty of life left.
Right. It also makes me think about, this is the role of the church. You know, that's what we're, the role of the church is supposed to be, you know, is when we see, you know, our younger generation that's struggling out there, is for us, you know, to pick up that slack, you know, to be able to speak into these young men and young women's lives, you know. So, and you know, where's the church doing that? The church needs to step up and recognize what's going on and do something about it.
Okay. Well, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge, you know, and a lack of vision. And so casting vision and teaching and preaching and sharing God's word oftentimes helps people to ignite themselves to realize, you know what, I do have a purpose. In fact, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
All right.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and the future."
Mm-hmm.
Man, I remember the first time I heard that scripture, I was like, hold up, wait a minute.
Right. Are you talking to me?
Wait a second. Is that in the Bible? You're going to have to show me that.
Right.
You know, like, where is that in the Bible? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I when I was younger, I didn't have purpose. And then when I started going to college, it's like all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to do something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the biggest driving motivation in my life at that time was like, I didn't want to be poor. You're like, been there, done that. Don't want to be visit that no more. I'm like,
yeah, right.
That was my biggest motivation. So I went to college. I think I got started. He was like, I got to go do something. Got to get an education. That's what they keep telling me. Get an education. It's like, oh, my goodness. And so I just, you know, went along with everybody else. This college is the next step, you know.
Right.
And I'm not saying that college is bad. I'm just saying that's not the only way to learn. There's a lot of people that have a college education. You're just like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, you need some wisdom. You need, you know, it's like you need a whole lot more than just a paper and just, you know, some things. And we have and I don't want to get into all that, but an inordinate, you know, it's amazing how some people get some respect because they have a college degree and some people just get looked down because they don't. It's like, wait a second. You know, it's like, did you know the person got a college degree doesn't know how to spell?
Right.
You know, it's like,
has no common sense.
Yeah. Let's get this all together. Let's balance this thing out. But, later on in my life, I was just, you know, when I was going to college, working and trying to, you know, do this stuff and trying to think like I think a lot of people do, that my destiny, my purpose is in a job.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that, wait a minute, God, you have a plan for me. You have a destiny for me.
All right.
You know, that I'm not a mistake in that this was, you know, all part of your divine providence and your hand has been involved in my life some way or the other all along the way. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And I think that's an eye opener for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
You know, God does have a plan for you. The way you walk and talk and breathe and look and act, you know, you're not an accident.
That's right.
You're not, you know, there's destiny in your life. And so when I started to realize, I could pull back and say, wait a minute, I have to make this thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our best attempts to try to do something oftentimes is like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a whole lot easier when I realized, well, why don't I just discover? Since purpose precedes production, and I didn't create or produce myself, you know, why not just ask God, what do you want to do with me?
Right, exactly.
Do with me.
I can tell you from firsthand experience. I mean, that's exactly how God's trained me up. You know, I've had people ask me, so where did you get your training to do what you do? You know what I tell them?
What?
I went to the University of the Holy Spirit. That's
wow.
That was my school.
Yeah.
You know, firsthand. You know, I just, God, I don't know how to do this, but I know you do. Teach me. Well, how do I do this? That's right. Help me figure this out.
And that's amazing.
And he does every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
And that's amazing because I know you personally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've known you for many, many, many years. And all the stuff, the technical stuff that you know, all the stuff that you know. I know, I mean, the truth is that, I mean, let's just get it out right now. Chris, go ahead. We're going to talk about it. All right? We're going to talk about it. Don't get nervous. Pat didn't even know how to turn on a computer.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I was so scared of it. It sat on my dining room table probably for a week. I had to call Greg. I said, hey, can you come up here and help me turn this thing on? Because I don't have a clue.
Isn't that amazing? Today, you build websites, and that means like you're all
and
over
he's building computers.
Right.
Didn't know how to turn one on, but now he builds them.
Right. And then also went to VIAVenue, which obviously that's
absolutely Lion
Fellowship University. So also went through that for even more training.
Absolutely.
So guys, train me up, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you. I mean, listen, God has a destiny. He has a plan for you, and if you don't know Him, the first thing is that man's destiny and purpose is to know God. That's man's chief end. Listen,
right.
if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not living life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're really not. You know, I know there was such a stark contrast, just a night and day difference from not knowing Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And how my life was after I met Jesus. I mean, it's like mm-hmm. night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. And I would even call while I was just, it's like, oh, I was just existing.
Mm-hmm.
And like many people are, they're pushing through. I often think about the Dunkin' Donuts commercial and the guy gets up and says, time to make the donuts.
Like, I remember that.
Yeah, my heart breaks. I can relate to that. There's many people today that are working so hard, man. They're paying bills. They're trying to do the very best that they can to take care of their family and to keep peace in their home and to raise children. And let me tell you something. It's challenging when you're serving God. It's impossible when you're not.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Mike, you need every ounce of prayer. You need
Oh, my gosh.
So,
meaning when before I knew God, it was just a mess, absolute mess.
It always is, isn't it?
I screwed it all up, but God fixed it. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, He does a great job of taking our mess and fixing it. It's like a bad tangled knot. Mm-hmm. He's always unpulling the knot to come with the best possible outcome. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Your tangled shoelace,
mm-hmm.
and He's really, really good at that. But we're talking about destiny. We're talking about purpose. We're talking about Dr. Graham that at 94 years old,
mm-hmm.
he's not looking to retire, expire, right? He's looking to refire. He's looking to live life with destiny to the last breath. And I encourage you listening today, you're saying, you know what? I'm hearing you guys. This is, you know, I'm just working a job. And listen, you got to take care of your job, but your job's not your purpose.
Right.
Your job is where you carry out your purpose.
Right.
Your job's not your purpose. Come on.
Right.
It's where you, and that's a mistake that just sometimes education and schools, and we lift up a job mm-hmm. and we look up a career. You know, there's some people I wouldn't switch out a career for.
Right.
You know, because it's like, dude, you have a what seemingly looks like a great career, but your life is in shambles. You know, your life is not where it needs to be. You got family, you got stuff, but it's not where it's at. God has destiny. God has a purpose. And He wants to reveal it to you. Your job is where you live that out. And it's to glorify God. It's to glorify God in all you do. You know, God has anointed us and He's appointed us. The Bible says God's called us to bear fruit, good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're listening today and you're saying, you know what? I want my life to matter. I want to live for the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters who you do it for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. You know, John, that reminds me of where I was at there for a time.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, always, you know, before I came to know the Lord, you know, I always worked, you know, I worked to work. You know, I thought that, you know, that was my life. That's what I had to do. You know, that's all that, you know, consumed me. I worked from sun up, sun down, you know, and even shortly after I came to the Lord, that's where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, my whole life consumed work. You know, I was working a job that I never knew when I was going to get off. And then, and so, you know, I couldn't plan anything in my life because that was my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
But then it was just like one day there was this light bulb that went off. You know, I mean, it's a long, you know, it's kind of God a long drawn out story. But yeah, God spoke to me through this particular situation at work. You know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, I work so that I can live. I'm not supposed to live to work.
Oh, wow. Say that again.
Twice.
You might lose it. No, come on. That's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't live to work. I work so that I can live.
That's awesome.
You know, and that was just a huge revelation, you know, because, you know, my family was struggling at the time. You know, I was never there. My children were struggling because I wasn't there. But then, you know, like I said, it was just like this mega pop revelation that God gave me one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately I put in my 2-week notice where I was at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this isn't worth it.
Right.
You know, because, you know, I couldn't do anything for God. Couldn't do anything right. for my family.
Right.
Because I wasn't there. I wasn't available.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it's beautiful. Important because your family needs you. You know, you're not just a paycheck. You're a father. You're a husband. You're a leader in your home. Your family needs you. But you know what? God has a purpose. Mm-hmm. It's just that alone. Just that alone. Knowing that God has a purpose for you is for you to know him and to make him known and for you to glorify him in all that you do. It'll take your whole existence of what seemingly appears a meaningless existence, because I've been there, to realize that no matter what you're doing in life, no matter what you're, it's, you know what, I'm going to do this to the glory of God. But you first got to know him. You first got to accept him in your heart. You first got to make him Lord. And when you do that, a whole world of possibilities opens up to you, a whole world of things. And let me tell you, if you're a believer today, and you're saying, you know, I hear you. I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game, you know, so you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game, you want to do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org, and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religion's made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused to the original intent of the church. And Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways will end up following some ways that are not his ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also, join us in the VFN family. You know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium.
And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on Fill the Stadium Now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. Well, my goodness. We had a great, great conversation. I mean, talking about purpose. Dr. Reverend Billy Graham, 94 years old, and still interested in seeking God's will, seeking God's purpose for his life. He's not looking to retire. He's looking to continue to have his life, to have as much fruit as possible for God. And that's where we need to be.
That's right.
That's where we need to be. And one of the things that we talked about was talking about, you can't find your true destiny, your true purpose outside of God.
That's right.
And oftentimes people that don't know God, they think that their destiny and their purpose is their job.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't. Your job is just where you fulfill your destiny. Your destiny and your purpose is in God.
Right.
It's in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying him in all you do. And your job is just a place where you fulfill your purpose.
That's right.
It's where you glorify God and you bear fruit and you lead people to the Lord. And your life and your witness and how you do your job matters tremendously before God.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole life is to give God glory. That's the purpose of your life, is to glorify him and to reflect. Think about it. In your life, you have your family. Is God getting glory out of your family, your character and your integrity? Is God getting any glory in those areas, in your finances, in your work? How about all the things the Lord has entrusted to you?
Mm-hmm.
You think about all this stuff. Our life is just not humdrum. God has equipped us and has surrounded us with areas of influence, with responsibilities, with things that we have direct impact on. And so the world is not supposed to, you know, revolve around us.
Right.
You know,
right.
We revolve around God.
That's right.
And so thinking about that, you know, there's many people today that are coming back to God.
That's
they
right.
really are. We have prodigals that are finding the Lord again. And they once walked with God and said, it's not going well with me now.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost my way. And I encourage you, if you're a prodigal and you once knew God and you've left the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know you've left the Lord. You know, if you know you've left God and you're looking at your current situation and saying, this is not good,
mm-hmm.
tell you something, God's not mad at you.
That's right.
You can work it out.
Amen.
And the first step is just coming to him. The first step is acknowledging. and God will help you and walk you through the process. But start all over. Mm-hmm. Dump everything you had from before. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk more about turning back to God. Mm-hmm. Turning back to God as we come to the end of the first hour. We're turning back, turning our hearts back to Him, giving our hearts to Him. Maybe you're here today and you're listening to all of this and you're saying, you know what? I want God's calling me and you've repented and you're coming back to God. I want to read you something out of 1 Samuel that's really amazing. And the Ark of the Covenant, it's all about God's presence. I mean, we need the glory of God in our life, in our home, mm-hmm. in the church. I mean, you know, we need God's glory, but the Ark of the Covenant was being returned to Israel after some time. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Word of God says that it was a long time, verse 2, it was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath and Jearim. Mm-hmm. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And then verse 3 says, and Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, rid yourselves of foreign gods and the Asherahs, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only. And He will deliver you. He'll deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Mm. I mean, there is a process. You know, you can give your heart to God, but say, listen, if you really want to turn your heart. So he says, so the Israelites put away all their Baals and their Asherahs and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're turning back to God, such an encouraging time. But how many times have we seen this where, you know, God's moving in someone's life and they're being drawn to God, mm-hmm. but you almost like they don't seal the deal. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, being close is not in. That's very important. Mm-hmm. In is in, out is out. And if God's drawing you, you want to come to God fully. And don't underestimate. Remember, because you didn't know God a little while ago.
That's right.
You didn't know God a little while ago. And if you're coming back to God, don't underestimate the people that God has put by divine providence, by His plan for your life, you know, mm-hmm. to help bring you back. I mean, here you see Samuel as a picture. Mm-hmm. As a picture of one that's standing in the gap, bringing the people back. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour. I'm so excited. Listen, if you have to leave us and you can't join us for the extra hour, don't forget to catch us on the 24-hour loop. God bless you, and we'll be back.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.